This is CICK News. Last Saturday, at the Delcant Friendship Center, the community gathered to celebrate a milestone years in the making. 20 new citizens from 7 different countries came together, surrounded by family, friends, and neighbors, for a long-awaited in-person recognition of their Canadian citizenship after completing the official process online. Hosted by the Smithers Community Services Association, the ceremony was both formal and deeply personal. Local leaders, including MLA Sharon Hartwell and Mayor Gladys Attrill, joined in welcoming the new citizens, alongside reflections from speakers and a welcome from Wet'suwet'en Chief Timberwolf, as well as Gitsan and Wet'suwet'en storyteller Mel Basil. For those gathered, it was more than a ceremony. It was a moment to honor the journeys, challenges, and contributions that shaped this community.
So where are we? Well, first of all, we're in Canada. We're in Smithers, the most amazing place, and we're here at the Friendship Center Hall to witness the citizenship ceremony. And how lovely is that? I'm sure there's a variety of stories, from people just wanting to be here, from people needing a place to be safe, to people on adventure. Like, all those stories are important, but mostly when people become a part of Canada, I think the opportunity is we welcome and we encourage those new citizens to take full advantage of being here, and that includes citizenship responsibility, being active in the community, being welcome and respectful of others, trying to add to the whole. For some, there might be some sadness, depending on how they got here, and that's our opportunity as those who are here already to welcome. But after that, people bring everything from their other cultures. They bring their food, they bring their language, they bring their stories, their clothes, everything that was vibrant and whole where they were. They're going to add it to the amalgam that's here already.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us today for this reaffirmation ceremony. My name is Barry Lester, and on behalf of Smithers Community Services Association's English Language and Multicultural Services Program, whose dedication and many hours of work help bring the celebration together, I'll be your master of ceremonies this afternoon. This celebration is intended to honor and recognize new Canadian citizens living in Smithers. And what a great crowd we have. Many of whom have completed their citizenship process within the past 3 years, but didn't have an opportunity to participate in an in-person ceremony. This is a moment to warmly welcome them into our community.
Anne Desplanches works at the Smithers Community Services Association as the Local Immigration Partnership Coordinator through the English Language and Multicultural Services. Anne herself is a new Canadian and shared her perspective of how it feels to leave your home country to resettle in Canada, whether that be out of need for refuge, safety, work, or in her case, love.
Immigrating to a new country is one of the most profound transitions a person can experience, regardless of the reason that leads someone to board that plane. Researchers in migration psychology refer to the psychological and emotional effort required to adapt to a new cultural environment as acculturative stress. It's not the same as general life stress. It results from managing the ongoing demands of a bicultural environment throughout one's lifespan. Language alone can add a significant layers of effort. Studies in cognitive science show that operating in a second language can require up to 30 to 40% more cognitive effort than speaking in your native language. Despite this cognitive load and emotional effort, immigrants continue to move forward. They build businesses, raise families, volunteer in their communities, and contribute in countless ways to the places they now call home. I sometimes wish that everyone who fights fiercely against immigration could experience just once in their life what it feels like to live somewhere else. When it is chosen, it already requires a tremendous amount of adaptation, even when the same language is shared. So when it's not chosen, when this change of territory is caused by fleeing one's country rather than by the desire to go elsewhere, imagine for a moment that the rupture that this must represent in a person's life. Do I feel Canadian? Yes. And at the same time, I'm not entirely sure. I find that the answer to that question is not as simple as a yes or a no. I live now in a space between cultures, never fully one or the other. I lost that stability that once made me feel certain about where I belong. And along the way, I have come to understand that the land I now call home is unceded Wet'suwet'en territory, and that I walk on this land as a guest. Many of the new citizens sitting here today may recognize that in-between space, the place where different languages, memories, and identities meet. And while it can sometimes feel unsettling, it's also a place that teaches us adaptability, empathy, and openness. It allows us to see the world from more than one perspective. Immigrants do not only adapt to communities, they transform them. This is a quiet strength that immigrants bring to this country, the ability to build bridges between worlds. Today, each of new citizens we celebrate carries their language, their memories, and their journey into the future of Canada. And it's my great honor to celebrate you. Thank you.
Mel Basil invited the audience to lend him our imaginations to tell us a story about the friendly trapper.
There's three words in our language for earth. The first word is yin, which is just earth, the whole earth, where all of us are from. Yinta. Yinta is the word for our territory, but it's also our heart and mind's connection to the land. It's not just a boundary line. It is not imperial. It is a boundary, but it is a welcoming boundary. It is all life that exists on this territory. The Wet'suwet'en people are responsible for all of us. So that's why our chiefs, our matriarchs, that's why they describe unceded territory, is we did not lose it to a war, we did not give it up or sell it, and we are still here. And we welcome you. In the word of our language, Dedeuftish, that means come in. Everyone, all of you, come in. Dedeuftish is not a word for welcome. We didn't have that before. Now we do. Dedeuftish, everyone come in.
Then all new citizens were invited to join MLA Sharon Hartwell on stage to be sworn in.
I reaffirm.
That I will be faithful
and bear true allegiance.
My name is Ira Nakpil. I've arrived at last 2019. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so almost 6 years. I come from Dubai for 3 years and then I go directly to Smithers.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you feel today during the ceremony?
Oh, it's very heartfelt, like everybody recognize us. We feel welcome here in Canada. We love to live here and build the future for my kids.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. And what do you do in town?
I work as a healthcare assistant.
Okay, very nice. Well, thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Can everyone introduce themselves, please?
I'm Christine Lapointe from Germany originally.
I'm Lydia Haag, originally from Germany.
I'm Jasmine Werner, also originally from Germany.
How long have you been in Canada and then Smithers?
In Canada about 9 years and in Smithers about 3.5 years.
In Canada and Smithers since 5 years.
In Canada about 13 years and in Smithers 1.5 years.
How did today feel for you?
yeah, it was really nice to have an in-person celebration because the online celebration was not as spectacular.
Was that because it was during COVID? Is that why it was online?
No, that was just last year, but most celebrations are online now.
Yeah, but you have the choice, you know. You can do it in person, but you have to wait for a way longer time. But if you want to have it quick, you do it online.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This, as far as I understood, this is the second time that the ALMS program is hosting this in-person ceremony. And for me, already the online version was very emotional. Today was very emotional. It means a lot to me to be a Canadian citizen. And yeah, just really thankful and grateful for this event and for being a Canadian citizen now.
My name is Gagandeep Singh.
Okay, and who's this?
That's my pretty daughter, Marine Kaur.
I think she kind of stole the show. People were couldn't take their eyes off of her. How do you feel about the ceremony today?
I have my family with me. They're happy, and I got with them, and I got a very nice experience today. So thank you, everyone, for that.
Yeah. So nice. And how long have you been in Smithers?
It's been 7 to 8 years.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, great.
While immigration in Smithers is robust at one of the highest rates of newcomers per capita in the province, according to the 2021 Statistics Canada census population, Canada as a whole is scaling back its immigration targets over the next 3 years, with a new plan aiming for about 380,000 permanent residents annually, a drop from the original target of 395,000. The federal government is also cutting temporary resident numbers, including international students and foreign workers. Even with reduced totals, Canada continues to prioritize economic immigration. In 2026, 239,800 permanent resident spaces are reserved for skilled workers under what is called economic class pathways, according to immigration lawyer Colin Singer in an article that he wrote for immigration.ca. The shift focuses on retaining people already in Canada and moving some of them into permanent residency while slowing overall population growth. Government officials say that the goal here is to create a more sustainable immigration system after several years of rapid expansion, according to the Canadian government website. To learn more about the local newcomer context in Smithers, I sat down with Alex Nikolic at the Smithers Community Services Association office yesterday to speak about the Local Immigration Partnership, or LIP.
My name is Alex Nikolic. I'm the program manager for the English Language and Multicultural Services Program at Smithers Community Services Association. So Local Immigration Partnerships is an IRCC program that was started several years ago in larger urban centers. So what it is, the LIP is a Local Immigration Partnership, which brings together community stakeholders to discuss and to provide, ideally, services or resources for newcomers to better establish themselves in Smithers.
What are some examples of some of the resources that the LIP is trying to provide?
For example, we'd like to be able to provide information on workers' rights, for example. So unfortunately, there was a news story on the National last night. Unfortunately, there are reports of abusive working conditions for many immigrants, particularly temporary foreign workers, providing them with resources so that they're familiar with their rights in the workplace, as well as their rights as tenants. For an example, also to provide resources if a newcomer would like to, say, start a business. Yeah, so the way I put it is that we, as the English Language and Multicultural Services Program here at SESA, we prepare the newcomer for the community, whereas the LIT prepares the community for the newcomers. Providing cultural sensitivity training for employers and workplaces and that kind of thing.
We were speaking before we were recording, but can you talk a little bit about what those cuts do mean to this program?
It's unclear at this point what the funding cuts mean for the LIP. That hasn't been communicated in detail as of yet, but I expect to hear more about that in the coming months. Lit doesn't provide direct services, it's an indirect service program. And the idea is that the partners, the stakeholders that are part of the Lit Council, their organizations will be able to help provide the direct services, whether it's a workshop or a seminar or that kind of thing. But the LIP itself is just a guiding body.
One of the cuts that you had mentioned was maybe in the English language link, you called it.
Yeah.
So how would that, what does that change look like?
Well, it doesn't really have any effect on the local immigration partnership. But as far as our English language and multicultural services program, that it just means that we have to pivot from a formal instruction to an informal instruction in order to be able to continue serving the people that are going to be affected by the cuts, by cutting that particular class. So we do have, like many other nonprofit organizations, volunteers are our lifeblood. So we do rely to a large extent on our volunteers to provide that tutoring and that informal English practice to all of our clients that want it. So that's where we're probably going to have to pivot and redirect some of our clients towards our tutors and our volunteers, which are integral to both the ELMS program and the LIT program, because the LIT program is pretty much all the members are volunteers.
Anne, in her speech on Saturday at the citizenship ceremony, said a statistic from Stats Canada that Smithers has the highest population of immigrants per capita in BC.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Smithers such a destination?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I can dig up some feedback about that from the newcomers or themselves. Just from what I remember reading through that those comments, affordability, relatively speaking, I guess, as far as rent goes, access to outdoor recreation, quality of life, and just being in nature. There is a number of newcomers that do choose to leave Smithers, though, and go to larger urban areas where there's probably a larger community for that will support them. We've had immigrants that have come here and stayed for decades, and so we're hoping to continue that. I'd imagine that most of them are here for the same reasons that we all are. It's a great town to live in. There's no shortage of fun things to do, access to nature. It's a culturally vibrant community with, in terms of arts and music and that kind of thing. And also it's a very multicultural town as well. You just walk down Main Street and there's all kinds of restaurants, and apparently there's a couple more opening ethnic restaurants on Main Street in the coming months, which only supports that notion that this is a place where people like to come and stay and to share their culture and their experiences.
What was the significance of having an in-person citizenship ceremony on Saturday? A few of the people that I interviewed after, they'd already actually done their citizenship ceremony online. Yeah, what did it mean to have it in person?
So yeah, I think it was very well attended and received event by all accounts. And we're just happy to be able to offer that opportunity for them to actually say their oath and to get their certificate in person with members and representatives of the community in attendance.
Yeah. Was there anything I didn't ask that you want to include in this conversation?
I just wanted to, as far as just to touch on our volunteerism, which, like I said, it's very important for us here, not just at ELMS, but with the SCSA in general, is something that an initiative that we're working towards in order to build that volunteer base is to have a program in place where we have kind of like a buddy program. So clients that have been in Smithers for several years and are now more comfortable and more established in the community, to incentivize them to now be volunteers with the program and to provide guidance and support and mentorship to a newcomer that might have just gotten here and be able to help them navigate what they've had to navigate over the last few years. And eventually, ideally, to have our volunteers that are helping newcomers to now start volunteering outside of our organization and with other organizations within the broader community and to be even more integrated in that manner.
The Local Immigration Partnership has also facilitated a Newcomer Advisory Council, which brings together people who were born outside of Canada, no matter how long they've lived here, to share their experiences and perspectives. Their role is to provide firsthand insight into the challenges, barriers, and opportunities that newcomers face, helping to guide the direction of the Local Immigration Partnership Council. As a relatively new initiative in Smithers, the council is part of a broader network across BC, with similar partnerships in communities such as Terrace, all working to better support newcomers as they settle into these northern communities. A proposal from the District of Houston is aiming to change how the province buys everyday supplies by giving local businesses a bigger role. At a March 3rd council meeting, Councillor Stringfellow and Uverman endorsed a North Central Local Government Association, or NCLGA, resolution calling on the province to allow ministries and agencies to purchase more goods directly from local vendors rather than relying solely on centralized distribution. Supporters say the change could help communities that are hit hard by the loss of major industries such as Houston, keeping more public spending in local economies. I spoke with District of Houston Councillor Tom Stringfellow about why he brought the motion forward and what it could mean for northern communities.
I'm Tom Stringfellow. I think what brought this to my attention was the idea that things in the province have changed. Government's vision, which doesn't work for every community. And for us, we've lost heavy industry. We lost heavy industry in 2014, and we've lost heavy industry here. Canfor has now been down, I believe, 3 years. So what's happening to our little community is it's very difficult for our businesses. They're losing money. They're trying to stay alive. And some of the products that are sent through the PDC or Provincial Distribution Centers is basically the same items, or quite a few of them are the same that are in the local stores. So I'm not sure why we can't have the provincial government get into contracts with some of the local businesses to, I would think that it was an opportunity, I think, for the whole province. I mean, we can't source everything. The medical supplies and some of those things, we won't be able to source. But supplies like cleaning supplies, shovels, well, I'm thinking it's quite large. It's mostly once a month. Each of those stations or each of those agencies get these supplies. So, like I said, like some of them we won't be able to source, but the majority of them I would think you could source, and you could get into a contract with a local store here, like the Home Hardware or something like that, where cleaning supplies and brooms and batteries, or we're duplicating the same supplies are coming this way through the PDC, and they're coming through when the store too. So we're getting duplicates of supplies into the community. One's going to a provincial government agency, and the other's going to the local store. But it doesn't seem to make any sense to me that we can't source that locally and help the local businesses just to, like I say, stay on their feet and supply these agencies with those supplies. But I know the provincial government is going to say, well, no, we source, so we can save money, and by doing it, we save taxpayers money, and we can do contracts with suppliers, and 80% of it is Canadian made. But my argument is, like, the tax dollars don't come back to this community. Mm-hmm. Same as when the mills here, we had to fight to get RBA. I mean, that took 10 years for us to argue with government to say a lot of our revenue is leaving this community and we need some money to come back. And I think we're at a point here now again where we need the government to let go of some of them, help out our local businesses. We've lost heavy industry. We don't see anything in the near future coming this way. And local businesses are having a tough time. So I think they could rewrite some contracts. I don't think they need to do maybe the whole province, but I think there's communities in the north here. They've all lost heavy industry. You're talking like Fraser Lake and Vanderhoof. So there's ways. I think there's ways. I think they just need to take the time to figure it out. I think there's the technology today is a lot easier for that to happen through contracts. I just think it's time for a bit of a change.
You know, property taxes rose in Houston again this year by just over 11%. Is this sort of part of a plan that you see to sort of create a closed loop economy for Houston?
No, I think it's a bigger plan to realize that we can't rely on heavy industry. They come in, they leave, and it's unfair to the taxpayers that the burden is left with them. People move here, they work here, and then they had good paying jobs. And then when things shift in the government or in ideas or whoever makes the shift happen, it's shifting now, that these industries can shut down and walk away. And the burden of the tax revenue that we were receiving, or that municipalities receive, like I said, Lake, Vanderhoof, is gone. Mm-hmm. And then what you have is you have this dilemma of asking the taxpayer to pay more to try and keep your pools in open and other amenities that the community, and like you say, asking the taxpayer to dig in their pocket a little more. And I just think that's unfair to the citizens. They've paid their share, and then now to ask them after a large company walks away to say, oh, you have to make that up. So that's, and I think that's unfair from the provincial government as well to say, well, that's Houston's problem. But we have to source or find a way to not be so reliant on heavy industry. And back in the day when in 2014, when West Fraser shut down, we actually put money aside in an account thinking that, well, one day if Canfor ever shuts down, we'll have a little bit of money to carry us over until something happens or something, we can source something else, some other industry, or anyway, just not the burden wouldn't be on the taxpayers as heavy if there was no money. So we took that in account, and we made an account that we started, and it's actually helping us out this year. We have it, I believe we have it for the next 3 years, a portion of money that we're able to use, put back towards the taxes, but it's not enough to balance the budget without looking at some way of some sort of taxes.
Was this resolution endorsed by council?
Yes.
Councillor Stringfellow, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about my resolution, and hopefully it'll pass at NCLGA and move on to the UMBC.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.